DW Africa Link.
Imagine this. You're a Muslim woman proud to serve your country in the Defense Forces or other security agencies. You suit up for duty, but you are told to take off your hijab, an Islamic headscarf. That piece of cloth, a symbol of your faith and identity, isn't allowed. Yet you stand tall, a beacon of courage and resilience, facing the challenge head-on. That's the inspiring story of Muslim women in Malawi as they try to fight this.
Islamic teachings emphasized modesty and humility, and it encouraged women to cover themselves in public. The Holy Quran and Hadith provide guidance on hijab, outlining its importance as a symbol of faith and identity.
The banning of wearing of hijabs at workplaces as well as schools has affected us a lot, considering the fact that our religion allows us to wear hijabs, especially women.
For many, the hijab is more than just a head covering. It's a core part of who they are. So what's Malawi's problem with wearing a hijab? What does it mean for freedom of religion in a country that promises it? And how is a so-called hijab task force fighting for a woman's right to wear a hijab? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr. and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
The Hijab Task Force, a new Muslim advocacy group in Malawi, is standing up for women's right to wear the hijab at work, especially in government security agencies like the police and military. Their work is crucial in the fight for religious freedom, dignity, and equal rights in the workplace. For more on this, let's bring in the spokesperson of the Hijab Task Force, Abdus Salam Faduwek. I also have our correspondent in Malawi, Chimwemwe Padata. Hello and welcome to Africa Link. Chimwemwe, help us put things into context here. Has Malawi ever allowed women to wear the hijab, especially those in security?
Thank you so much, Eddie. Just straight to your question, I would say the hijab has never been used in the security agencies here in Malawi, as the authorities keep saying that it cannot be condoned as it puts at stake the country's security. As someone who is working in security agencies cannot be allowed to conceal her identity. So the controversy surrounding the wearing of hijab is a long-standing issue here in Malawi. What is new now is that the Hijab Task Force, which is under the Muslim Association of Malawi, has written the Ministries of Defense and Homeland Security Ministry, pushing for the use of hijab, the wearing of hijab among employees in these security agencies to perhaps allow them to wear the hijab. We have also witnessed wrangles in schools. Precisely, these are Christian-run schools that do not allow Muslim women to wear hijabs in class. So I would say the issue of Muslims wearing hijabs has been a point of contention here in Malawi. And also, apart from the security agencies, just to mention, to talk about incidents happening in schools, we have seen the closures of schools and even arson attacks when emotions surrounding this issue flare up. I'll give an example of an incident that happened in a district called Machinga, where a Christian-led school was banned by members of the Muslim community, I would say, who were protesting against the banning of students wearing hijabs in school. So that's what I can briefly say, Eddie.
How are they explaining that women wearing hijab when working for the police or military is some sort of security risk?
What keeps coming out is that the hijab appears to be in conflict with their standards and rules of running the security agencies, because you see that the hijab will cover part of an employee's face. So they are saying that this is not in line with their set regulations. So as an issue that has been there, what keeps coming out is that they cannot allow them to conceal their identity. They have to be easily identified by the public as also someone who is also looking after the security affairs of the nation. So that's what keeps coming out, Eddie.
What about those, these schools you're calling Christian schools, that are also deciding not to allow Muslims that attend schools to have their hijab? I mean, do they have the right to just decide what religious sort of apparel can be allowed or not?
I would say they wouldn't just decide, because this is also in conflict with the rights of these students, because some are forced out of the class. So you would look at the education rights of these students as being infringed upon, because Malawi is mostly considered a Christian nation. So I would say many of these schools that are against the use of hijab are run by a Christian association or Christian mother bodies. So it is on one hand in conflict with the rights of these learners, while on the other hand is also in conflict with their religious beliefs. So I would say it's an issue which borders around so many sectors, talking about the education sector, not forgetting the health sector, because there have also been issues where students in colleges, nursing colleges, are also being barred from practicing in public hospitals because they are wearing hijabs. So it's a cross-cutting issue affecting different sectors, not only the state security agencies. This includes the education sector, the health sector, and many sectors, just to mention but a few, Eddie.
You've been covering this for a while and speaking to experts. Is this even legal, what is being done across board in Malawi, preventing Muslim women from basically practicing their religion wearing the hijab?
I wouldn't say it is something which is legal, because there have been human rights bodies who have also spoken against this issue. So it dates back to the past years, because the security agencies that are being mentioned now, the defense and homeland security, I would say that the hijab has never been used. So I don't know if it is an issue. It doesn't come out clear in the laws as to when, whether the hijab should be worn or not. But it is an issue just to mention that what the Muslim Hijab Task Force is pushing for, these two security ministries, Defense and Homeland, to come to a round table and iron out these grievances and agree and come up with proper laws and policies on how this issue can be handled. Because they're also pushing for how they can incorporate the hijab in the attire that is worn by employees in the state security agencies. So I would say it's an issue that we are yet to see whether the government will bow down to these demands and incorporate the hijab in this military attire, as it is also being demanded by the Hijab Task Force under the Muslim Association of Malawi.
Right. Thank you very much, Chimwemwe. So let's come straight to you, Abdus. You represent the Hijab Task Force. You've sent a petition to the Ministries of Defense and Homeland Security. What's in the letter?
Thanks so much, Eddie, for having me on the program. It is true that we wrote letters to the Minister of Defense and also Minister of Homeland, requesting them for the meeting that we should discuss the issue of hijab in security agencies. In fact, we need them to arrange the meeting with us, the Hijab Task Force, to discuss the issue of hijab, that they should allow the female personnel working in these security agencies to have their uniforms on and also put on hijab on a daily basis when they're working.
What do you expect to be their response?
Malawi is a nation that we all say a law-abiding nation. And for that reason, we expect them to respect that, keeping in mind that it is the Muslim female personnel's right to exercise their religion or belief or conscience, which is enshrined in the constitution of the country. After we got the multi-party system of government, which gives the rights to all the people that are staying in the country. So we expect them to respect that. The only thing that we really expect them to do is to speed up the meeting so that we sit down and discuss ways on how we can incorporate the hijab in the uniforms of the MDF, the Malawi Defense Force. the Malawi Police Services, the road traffic, the immigration, and also the prison, including the inmates, the female inmates who are in prisons. So basically, we expect them to respect that, and then we move forward as a nation.
You're not the first to fight against this. As we heard from our correspondent, Chimwemwe, this has been a long-standing issue. Basically, Malawi has never allowed, especially women in the security sector, to be wearing hijabs. Why do you think you have a chance this time?
We don't just think that we got a chance, but we are confident that we are going to make it, and this is going to be allowed. Because, you see, most of the times people think we can ask for our rights. We don't ask for our rights. We demand for our rights. So the fact that Malawi accepted people to exercise their rights and put them in the constitution, we've got the right to demand to the authorities. So as Hijab Task Force, we are confident that we are going to go through this and make it. And then it won't even bring problems. We are not going to accept any oppression to the Muslim female who are working in the security agencies from any authority. Should there be people, a certain organ of government that is going to try to oppress or maybe intimidate the Muslim female personnel working in these security agencies? Of course, this is a law-abiding country. We're going to push the issue to the extent that we're going to take the legal actions against whoever is going to be infringing these rights to the Muslim female personnel. So yes, we are confident that this is going to go through without even issues, because what we're going to be doing is just respecting and promoting the rights which we all agreed in 1992 when we voted for referendum change in the country.
Are you fighting for all women to have the right to wear their hijab wherever they are working, or you're fighting mainly for those working with the security agencies?
We are fighting for all the women in the country. I can just give you a simple example. We had a student who was studying nursing at one of the colleges in the country, and he was sent to one of the hospitals to for her practical, or you call it a practical work, whatever. And she was putting the hijab on a daily basis, and she wasn't allowed. But then she contacted us, and we took up the issue with the authorities. This is one of the hospital, we call it Mulibwanji Hospital in Mangochi. And we went there, we asked them, what is happening? They said, no, we can't allow hijab. This is not an Islamic institution. We said, no, but this is Malawi. So we fought for her. And as I'm talking to you, she did complete her training there with the hijab on. So the point is, we are fighting for all the women in Malawi, in all sectors, to put on hijab, be it in schools, be it in security agencies, or even at work. You call it the banks, even in other companies, where private companies, that is. So in a simple term, we are fighting for all the women, Muslim females in the country, to put on the hijab, because our mandate is to protect and promote the right to religion of the Muslim female in the country.
Does it come as surprising to you, Abdus, when some Christian schools are preventing Muslim girls from attending school with the hijab? One would have thought that, you know, Malawi has a good cohesion between, you know, Islam and Christianity. So what's going on there?
I'm not surprised. In fact, being a citizen of this country, I know what is going on in the country. Just for your information, I would be honest with you that even the listeners should also understand that in this country, some non-Muslims or some Christians, they take Muslims as second citizens. Some even think this is a Christian country, but this is a secular state where everyone lives there in this country has the right. So I'm not surprised, because even the issues of them rejecting hijab in schools, in the schools that they claim to be theirs, which I'm saying they're not their schools. Most of these schools that they're saying they belong to them, they're not their schools, they're public schools. And even their ownership of the schools, the ownership of the schools is questionable. I remember some time back, we even requested the government through PARC that there should be a thorough analysis of the ownership of the schools, because the schools that they claim to be theirs are not their schools. So, and some of the Christian organizations, they've got the mentality of saying, we are going to dominate, we are going to penetrate in the Muslim populated areas and try to change their belief. And some of them, they think that should a Muslim female learner or a Muslim female put on the hijab in their territory, which they claim to be, it means most of them, maybe they're going to join Islam, which is contrary. So bottom line, we are not surprised because we know there has been underground tactics just to try and manipulate or intimidate the Muslims in the country. If you check the eastern part of Malawi, you'll find that that area is even the area that we had more issues to do with the hijab in the schools, which they claim to be theirs. But in fact, they're not their schools. If you talk of the land ownership, it was given by the chiefs. Why? The chiefs believed in education, that no, let's give them the land to them to build schools so that our people can get access to education. Now, that is quality education. Now, what did they do? They would grab the land, build a school, and then change everything to say, this is our school, we don't allow this and that. Certain schools, if you go deep and do the research, you will find that these schools are government schools. They were built by the community, that means the public school. And then the government came in to help, to assist in terms of infrastructure, in terms of the materials to be used, even paying the teachers. In the end, you'll find that these people are going to come in as appropriators and then change things to say, this is our school. Yet, they don't even pay one teacher his wages or equal salary. That's every month. But they will come and claim to say, this is our school and we don't allow this. So the point is, they just have a certain hidden agenda against the Muslim community, which we have seen so far. Some schools, even the names have been changed. You find a certain school had a name which the community proposed. But after them coming in as a proprietor, they would change the name to start with their denomination's code, which is even against the law, because you can't change a public entity into a private entity. That's not acceptable. So bottom line, right, we're not surprised. Yes.
I'll be honest, I was a little bit surprised. Let me come to you, Chimwemwe. Is that somehow what is contributing to all of this? That because Christians are in the majority in Malawi, the Muslims somehow are not treated equally and fairly as citizens of the country, Chimwemwe?
I wouldn't say that is contributing to this issue, but what I would agree with you, Eddie, is that Muslims are spread in almost all parts of the country. You would find mosques in the central region, the northern part of Malawi, and even the southern region. But talking about the numbers, Christianity appears to be the most common religion in Malawi. But what I think is that misunderstanding of people of how to live in harmony with people of different religions. But fortunate enough, the majority of Malawians live and work together in harmony despite these religious differences. But what I would say, an overall picture, is that Christians and Muslims live in harmony despite some pockets of wrangles. The general picture is that people of different religions, beliefs coexist. And like I would say, churches and mosques sometimes are built just next to each other. So it's just a misunderstanding of how best we can live together as a nation.
Right. That's definitely good to know. So back to the matter, while we're talking about all of this, many Muslim women, if not all of them, are not able to practice their religion by wearing the hijab because the bosses are telling them, hey, do not wear the hijab. A lot of different groups, rights groups, including, of course, the Hijab Task Force, they are trying to fight this. Over the decades, over the many years, people have been trying to fight it. It hasn't worked out. How confident are you, Chimwemwe, that this time the government will take things seriously? Are there any signs to suggest that?
Right now, Eddie, I cannot speculate whether the government will give in to these demands as talks are still ongoing between the two sides. We heard from the Hijab Task Force that they are yet to get a response from the government on this letter that they sent to the two ministries. So just to mention that the Muslim Hijab Task Force wrote the two ministries with hope that their demands will be met. But previously, we have seen the government agreeing that Muslims should should start putting on their hijabs on driving licenses. This was also a long-standing issue, just to say, as now the push to allow women to wear hijabs in security agencies. And we are yet to see how this issue will be handled by the government and how they will respond to the demands by the Muslim Hijab Task Force.
Right. Abdus, let me come to you as we wrap this up. You have, you know, just as a reminder, you've written to the Ministries of Defense and the Homeland Security. When do you expect a response? And what's your timeline of operating to really deal with this matter?
Okay, first of all, I need you to understand that we are not doing this just to fight government agencies, but we just want to make sure that we're together in protecting people's rights in so many areas. So after sending them the letters on 15th July, of course, we give them a week just to, you know, in the office, they can have time to discuss and all that. We'll start following up the issue. And if we see the delays, there are delays that are understandable, and certain delays are not understandable. If we see the delays, then we're going to take the issue up in a different way. Legally, that is. We're not going to allow them drag the issue because of certain people's like mindset to say, no, why do they demand this? Just for your information, in Malawi, nurses used not to wear hijab in, while working in hospitals, public hospitals. As we speak, they do. We've got also, Chimwema has mentioned about driver's license, the passport as well, the national IDs as well, the female student in the schools as well, they're now putting on hijab, although we have some challenges. So bottom line, we will start following up the issue, asking them how far it is. If we see the delays, of course, we'll take the issue up. And when we say we take the issue up, that is legal. We are Malawians. We are also the first citizens of this country. And we're not going to allow anybody to intimidate a Muslim female learner, a Muslim female woman, while we watch. We won't do that. We are going to protect them by all means. That's legal. Eh? So yes, we will follow up the issue and then see what happens moving forward.
Many thanks, Abdus Salam Fadiwek, spokesperson of the Hijab Task Force. Also, thanks to you, Chimwemwe Padatha, DW correspondent in Malawi. Malawi's constitution guarantees freedom of right and protection against discrimination. And that's what the petition cites as grounds for demanding approval of hijab wearing in public institutions. We spoke to some women in Malawi to get their thoughts on the issue.
Islamic teachings emphasized modesty and humility, and it encouraged women to cover themselves in public. The Holy Quran and Hadith provide guidance on hijab, outlining its importance as a symbol of faith and identity. So when we are not allowed to wear hijabs in our workplaces, like for example, they say the nurses are better now, they are being allowed, but for instance then those that work in police services, MDF, immigration, and so on, it makes us feel like we are being discriminated, which most of the time affect us from practicing our faith freely.
The banning of wearing of hijabs at workplaces as well as schools has affected us a lot, considering the fact that our religion allows us to wear hijabs, especially women, to wear hijabs at school or even at work. So banning of wearing of hijabs is the same as infringing our right.
The government and security agencies often cite the need for standard uniforms to maintain discipline, security, and identification. But rights groups are not buying it. Similar debates have occurred in other African countries and even worldwide. Some countries like Ghana, Nigeria, and South Africa have adopted compromises such as designing hijabs that are uniform compliant and safe for operational duties. These developments reflect a wider trend toward religious inclusion in African workplaces, often backed by constitutional and human rights frameworks. So, inclusion is possible. Share your thoughts with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. And don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.